what I want to kind of talk today is a little bit about how do we communicate with people both person to person and online in a way that's constructive and good. And Paul, one of the things he talks about in 2 Timothy, he talks about three different people. He talks about a commanding officer, sports people in sports, and farmer. And the commanding officer, when he's talking about the commanding officer, it's like, who's the boss? And we have to ask ourselves, who is our commanding officer? Who's our in charge? God, ideally. You know, that's our goal. Ideally, God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. But like Joe was saying, you know, we think we need to do it ourselves. But ideally, we need to let go and let God. And give it to God and let God be, and let Jesus be the guiding force. Let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. But again, too often, we want to be in charge. We want to be the ones that are, you know, have the say-so. And so we can block that. The second thing he talks about is in the athletics. And he talks about how many of you know what the term playbook means? I didn't know what it meant. I'd heard the term playbook. And then I saw a movie called The Playbook, and it was a football movie, and I thought, oh, it's got something to do with sports. And playbook is when they, in the sports, I didn't play sports. I hated it, you know. So my playbook was coloring and whatever. And so, you know, it's like, you know, that's what I thought about when I heard about the movie, The Playbook, and I thought, they got to book, movie about coloring. But the playbook. And the playbook is, sometimes are really thick, and every play that they do is in that book. And so they'll say, okay, we're going to pull a Carina 5, you know, or a J2. They know what that means because they've memorized this playbook and they know what it means. And so for us as Christians, what's our playbook? The Bible is our playbook. And then when he talks about farmers, he's talking about the harvest. The harvest is the goal. Well, what's our goal? People. People are what we're looking to harvest, because people are the only things that we can carry with us into eternity. If you become a follower of Jesus Christ, we get to share eternity together. So it's one of those things. So he talks about those things and how the communication takes place. And if we look at it in that light, that Jesus is our commanding officer, the Bible's our playbook, and our goal is our harvest, is people, then we have to realize that our words are very, 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 very important, because people are watching. You know, Jody mentioned Facebook. Facebook, it's there. And it gives people an opportunity to say a lot of stuff that they might not normally want to say, or maybe wouldn't have said years ago. And so in 2 Timothy 2:14, it says, keep reminding them. This is the people in Ephesus. Those people were having problems with people talking about stuff and rumors and things that were going on. And so Timothy was over the church in Ephesus. And so he says, keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. Quarreling about words, like I talked a minute ago about. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. It ruins those that listen. The word ruin in Greek is catastrophe. Creates a spiritual catastrophe in the people that live. And so you get into those situations, and it just damages you more than it builds you up. And a lot of times people argue about religion and stuff like that, and thinking that they're helping, and they're just making it worse. Have you been around people like that? They're just making it worse, okay? And it adds no eternal value to their life at all. Doesn't help you out at all. It actually ruins them. So we get verbally attacked, and it helps us. Now, one of the things that we can look at is the Hebrew people. For the Hebrew people, words were very, very important. If you talked about words, they go back to creation. And you go back to creation, and here's God. It says God created the heavens and the earth, that it was void and without form. And he looks down into it, and he sees it, and then what does he do? He speaks. And when he speaks, things begin to happen. Things become formed. Their life is brought into the chaos. The chaos is calmed. And so things happen. And what Paul wants to talk to us about and remind us about is that our words are just as powerful. Amen. Our words are just as powerful because they influence, they affect, and they make a difference in people's lives. What we say. And so, you know, one of the things that's amazing for me is it's not necessarily what you say, it's how you say it. Because you can say things the same, you can say the same thing in many different ways and have an effect. And one of the things I hate about media is I will text somebody. Well, my fingers aren't made for texting. So my phone has the talk into it thing. And so I will text somebody, and sometimes the wrong words come out. My mouth says the right word, but the phone makes it a different word. And then I forget to edit it, you know. But I will text somebody, and so if I were texting Gary, I'd go, "Good morning, Gary, how are you?" And Scott looks at me, and he goes, "They can't hear the fluctuation of your voice." You know, it comes, "Good morning, Gary, how are you?" And that's what's there. But it's the influx that we put in our words that make the difference. And make the meaning and stuff like that. But we're in a technology world. And people text all the time. And my sister, we had a wedding. My great nephews got married, and so we were going to the wedding. I was going to pick my sister up. She texted me, "Are we still on for this time?" And I texted her back, and she texted me back, and I texted back. I thought, "What are we doing?" My mouth still works, so I pushed the little button, and she says, "Hello," and we talked. You know, I says, "It's stupid to text back and forth when we can actually talk." Now, how many of you find yourselves texting back and forth instead of talking? Okay, that you're the only one. Repent, okay? Because I'll talk to you any day because I love talking. But there's power in the words that we have, and you don't get the feeling that comes through a text. That when you're speaking it. And even though I speak it into my text, it doesn't come out the way it was supposed to. So 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." So Timothy's saying, we need to learn how to use our words. And what he's using here as an example is a construction terminology. And in the construction terminology, what he's saying is we need to be workmen in this thing. So what would happen is in the construction site, they would bring in like a big stone or rock, and they would put it in place, and they would slide it in place, see if it's going to fit, see if it's going to work, see if it's acceptable. And if it was acceptable, they would say dokimos, which means accepted. They'd put it there, and then they'd bring in the next one. They'd put it in there, and if it fit, dokimos, acceptable. Then they go along, and they get one, but it doesn't fit. It doesn't quite match up. And so the foreman right then would get a marker, and he'd put a big A on the stone. It means rejected. A dokimos, rejected, unacceptable. And so he's using that construction term, and he says we need to learn how to shape and use our words like those workers, so they are acceptable words, so they do meet the need that you have, and they're acceptable rather than being unacceptable because they're not good words. Can anybody think of a good word that's not acceptable? I can think of a lot of them. I used to use a lot of them. And so it's like a construction thing. But he also, in that reading, he uses the word orthotomeo. Orthotomeo means to build a straight path. So in that Greek time, again, if they needed to have a path built, they would bring in a team and they would build a straight path. Now, if you built a good orthotomeo, it had basically on-ramps, ways that people could get onto that road because it led to a certain place. Now, we're on a straight path to Jesus Christ. Do we use words that help people get on, or do we put up roadblocks? Are we I-15 or 215 construction, or are we freeway complete? We have the on-ramps that go there. And so that's what he's using. He's using a terminology that says, make a pathway straight. Now, this word, orthotomeo, is only used once in the New Testament, twice in the Old Testament. But there's somebody who did a lot of work like that in the New Testament, John the Baptist. John the Baptist's whole purpose was what? Introduce people to Jesus Christ, to make the pathway straight, to prepare the way for him. That's what John the Baptist was supposed to be doing, and that's what he did. And so if we build this orthotomeo right like it's supposed to be, we build our road in such a way that we're inviting people into Jesus Christ. We're making it easy for them to get there. And Paul says that we need to be approved workers all of our life, so that from right now till the day we die, we know how to correctly use words to build the kingdom of God. And we know which words not to use in that work. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more godless. They'll become more and more godless. And what he's talking about with godless chatter, empty words. Empty words. Somebody tells you, I will help you do this, and they never show up. I will do this, and they never show up. Know people like that? Their words are empty words, okay? And again, the words were very important to the Hebrew people, because they believed very much that they carried the image of God with them everywhere they went. They carried the image of God with them, and they believed in the commandment, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord God in vain or misuse the name. Now, growing up, what did you think that meant? No swearing. No cursing. No cursing. And that's part of it, is no cursing. But the main focus is don't misuse the name, because there's power in the name. There's character in the name. And so when you misuse the word, you're misusing the name of God, and you're talking empty words that have no power. And they believe that they carried the name of God with them everywhere they went, because they represented God. So no matter where they went, they had God with them. The same thing is true with us, right? We have the Holy Spirit. And we don't just have it here on Sunday as we sit here and sing or do whatever we do. The Holy Spirit is with us all the time. And we carry the name of God everywhere we go. And we either build up the name of God or tear down the name of God by the way we talk. By the way we talk and the things we do. When we build up the name of God, we bring glory to God, and it adds weight. They believe that it added weight. But this godless talk was hollow, was empty. And the more godless talk you got involved in, the more empty you were. the less you had to offer, and stuff like that. And so I thought, you know, he says, avoid empty words. And I thought, okay, what are some of the empty words that I used to have? I was the king of little innuendos. Those little kind of off-color things that you say. Now, none of you ever did that, but I was great at it. And I got looking at it, and I thought, okay, if that's the way I'm talking at work and interacting with people at work at the hospital, and they know that I'm pastoring a church or that I was a student, what kind of impression does that give them about my faith when all I can do, when I, you know, I freely throw those out and I was good at it. I just that fast. And so we had to ask our question, do the words that I'm using bring life or do they not? Do they bring people towards Christ or do they move them farther away? When I speak, am I bringing light and life and order into chaos? Or am I adding chaos to chaos? And I had to look at myself and go, oh, I'm adding chaos to chaos. I'm not bringing light and order and respect for Jesus Christ. Because a lot of times people look at what we say, they listen to what we say, they look at what we write. Facebook's a great. I have a Facebook, I think. And I have at least five friends. There's maybe, I think I'm up to seven by now. And I Karina signs on for me. She'll say, do you want this person as a friend? I say, well, how much do they put out, you know, in words? And she'll say, not much. I'll say, okay, they can be a friend. Or if it's like, no, they post a lot of stuff. Nah, we'll hold off on that for a while, because I'm not that good of a reader. Facebook gives people a really good opportunity to show some good stuff, really good stuff. But there's that little box that says, tell us what you think. And people do. They tell you what they think. And sometimes Scott gets really frustrated because he comes back, he says, people are so mean. People are so mean because they just say stuff that hurts and that's rude and it's ignorant. I mean, all we have to do is look at the political campaign. It's like trash back and forth. And we do that. And so one of the things that the Jewish people did is they felt like they carried the name of God with them everywhere they went. But they also believed that the image of God is on the inside of us. To every one of us carries that image of God inside of us. And it doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter who anybody in the world, everybody in the world without exception has the image of God inside of them. Okay, they may not know it. And sometimes we don't have the eyes to see it. Because sometimes when we look at people, we just see the exterior. We just see the homeless, clothes, stuff like that. We don't see that image of God inside of them. And for the Hebrew people, that was very important, that you see the image of God in the people, wherever they are. And we can learn something from them. Maybe they're different from us, but they carry the image of God in them. And we need to fine-tune our eyes to see that. And the part of the other problem with our words is, sometimes when we look at somebody that's different, we judge them, and we want to tear them down. We've all been the victim of that, haven't we? People look at us, they want to tear us down, they want to put us in a box because they're not comfortable with us. And so instead of looking at the image of God within us, they start looking for faults. They start looking for things that are wrong. Oh, Jay doesn't meet my needs, so I got to find something wrong with Jay or Joe or any of us in here. look at Keith. Oh my gosh. And so we start looking for those things and we start speaking empty words about them, hateful words about them. And when that happens, it's like gangrene. And the scriptures tell us what? We're all one body. We're all one person. But if I say something bad to Joe, and it pushes her over the edge a little bit, she's going to say something bad to Brandy. Brandy's going to say something bad to Barry. It's like gangrene. It starts killing itself off and infecting itself and getting worse and worse and worse. And the body starts turning on itself. I've seen that happen in churches where the body starts turning on itself and it destroys itself. And people on the outside who look in go, I don't want anything to do with that. That's not something I want to be involved in. And so, you know, if we're being ambassadors for Jesus Christ, we blew it. We blew it. We can either build up or we can tear down. Just that simple. And what does Scripture tell us in Luke? Out of our mouth comes what's in our heart. Whatever's in here, good, bad, or ugly, oh, we can play the game and we can hide our true feelings really well. But eventually it's going to come out because it's us. It's in our heart. And that's what Paul's talking about. He's saying, don't be like that. Don't be like the guy at Sam's Club who's talking loud enough for half the store to hear about stuff that is very destructive to people around. Because I wasn't the only gay person there. They have employees there and so on and so forth. And he's talking about me and my right to marry and those nine people that took, you know, it's like, okay. I can say, push my buttons, and because it was personal to me, and I wanted to just stand up and yell at him and tell him to shut up. So what do we do? One, learn to see and respect the image of God in everybody else. They're different from you, okay, but they still carry the image of God within them. And lift them up, no matter who they are. No matter who they are. Start talking with them. If you don't know why they say stuff like they do, ask them. Get in a conversation. Facebook is not community. It's not community. It doesn't take the place of sitting down face to face with somebody and just talking with them. Because you can say anything on Facebook. A lot of stuff that used to be talked around the table, now you go in a room by yourself and lift your laptop and open it up. As long as you got your laptop and Wi-Fi, you're free to say anything you want. So learn to see and recognize that image of God in people. We have to learn to be quicker to hear than to speak. That's sometimes hard to do, isn't it? Because again, I'm one of those comment, come back. Come back, queen. And so, but we need to learn to listen. And if they post something on Facebook, ask them if they'd like to take it offline and talk on the phone. Go have coffee together and sit down and talk. So you understand them a little bit more. You may not agree when it's all said and done. You may not agree with them. Because I've had people, well, Scott and I have areas in our lives, and we've been together 18 years. We have areas where we agree to disagree. And 99% of the time, we don't get into that area because it's too easy for things to flare. And, you know, you don't do that. And so, but take it offline. Get in personal. Talk to them. Talk to them. And listen to them, mostly. Listen to them. And then you'll find out sometimes why they are acting the way they do. Third, our focus needs to be on the harvest. On the people. Okay, on the person. If our focus is on winning the argument, what that says is we don't care about their eternity. We don't care about their marriage. We don't care about whatever's involved. We just want to win. And we think by winning, we're going to help their situation. Ever been in a situation like that? We think that by winning this argument, we're going to make a difference. It doesn't. On that straight road, it throws up a barricade. Winning is not everything there is. In fact, really not anything. So what's going to help them most? Listening. Understanding. And again, you may have to agree to disagree, but you've got to remember that your focus is the harvest, not winning. It's not winning. And then we need to approach them in grace and truth. Jesus came in full of grace and truth. But usually we want to be one or the other. We want to be all grace or we want to be all truth. You know, we see people and say, oh yeah, grace, grace, grace. But if we're on the truth side, then it's not the right Bible translation. It's not the right stance that we're taking. Things like that. And so we got to be in grace and the truth. But it's really about the people. When I met my friend Bill, he was working at Woolworths and I came back to Woolworths. And when we met, we clicked just like that. And we were about this far apart from each other. He was a good churchgoer. I was not. He never swore. I swore. He didn't drink. I went to a couple parties and had some drinks. But he never condemned, never put me down. We were just the best of friends, close. We were so much alike, it was incredible. I went up one time, we were going to a dance, Metro Dance Club. I went to pick him up. I'm sitting in the living room, and he comes down the stairs off up from his room, and we're wearing exactly the same clothes. Exactly the same clothes. Our friends took us into a store one time, and they took him first. They said, okay, go down here, pick out what you'd buy. So he said, oh, I'd buy this and this and maybe that. So then they brought me down. Says, what would you buy? He goes, oh, this and this and maybe that. In ways, we were just like this. In other ways, we were way apart. That's been 40, 50 years now. Never condemned, never put me down, always supportive. We lived across the street from each other, and when I came out, I was out. I moved back east, and he wrote to me all the time when we were there. Never condemned. Always been a good example that way. So, you know, you can use those four things any place. But God's the one that's got to look at your heart. And we need to do a heart evaluation every now and again. Because like I said in Luke, what's in your heart comes out your mouth eventually. So we live in a world that's full of noise and distraction and words that hurt. And we need to learn not to use them. Because it's too easy to say hurtful things. And even if they're true, got to keep it shut. Because that's what Jesus does, right? Jesus never had an innuendo. Never made a little sexual comment. Always lifted people up. Disagreed with them, but loved them. And so, like I say, just the guy down at Sam's Club kind of pushed my button, and it was like, okay. I wanted to yell at him, but that's not going to do any good for him or me. Now, what I want us to do here is to close our eyes for about a minute. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this message? Is there something in my heart that's causing me problems? If so, Holy Spirit, show me what it is. Loving Father, we thank you. We thank you that you created us in your image and that no matter where we go, your image is always on the inside of us. always a part of us. And Lord, we ask you to help us to fine-tune our eyes, to see your image in all the people around us, no matter who they are, no matter how different they are from us. Help us to see your image inside and to value them for being your children, even though they may not know that they are. Lord, help us to fine-tune our spirits, to listen to you, so that when we talk with people that want to argue, we know how to bring calm and peace to the chaos. To let your Holy Spirit bring a calm when we feel our anger rising, when our buttons get pushed, to remain calm and to speak to them in a way that will bring them closer to you and add value to their lives because they know you. And Lord, help us to make it about them and not us, because it's too easy to make it about me. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us, for caring for us, for drawing us closer to you and to each other. In Jesus' name, amen.